Good morning. Welcome to Pentecost Sunday. It was a joy to be in the house of the Lord together, to worship together. My name is Ben Kendra. I'm the campus pastor here at Bridge City Church, Brighton Heights. We are one church in four locations. I'd like to welcome any visitors that we have here with us this morning. Thank you for being here. I'd like to just signal out a special visitor from Tennessee, Angela, my wife's cousin and best friend. She's here with us with our daughter's graduation party. So thank you for joining us, Angela. So let's pray. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for today. I thank you for Pentecost Sunday. And I thank you for everyone that is here. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray for those that are in chains right now, that feel bondage and held back by whatever it is. So Father, whatever they brought in this morning, that I pray that they would know, and through your word and through your Holy Spirit, they could be set free from those things. And so Father, as we look at your word, I pray that you would open it up to us, that you'd speak in and through me. Father, that we would hear what you want us to hear. It's in Jesus' name I pray, and all of God's people said, amen. Well, it's a joy to be with you today on this Pentecost Sunday. So listen, a lot can happen in 50 days, can it? A lot can happen in 50 days. And so Pentecost, what is it? What is that all about? Maybe this is the first time you're hearing this word, or you're like not sure what it is, or you thought it was something else. But well, we're going to look at what, this is where we're going today. We're going to look at what Pentecost is, what it means, and how it influences us. That's where we're going. And I'm going to give you a challenge at the end of our word today. But what is Pentecost? The word penta means 50. In other words, it was 50 days after Easter that the birth of the church began, that the Holy Spirit that Jesus promised would come came on 50 days after. So we get the word Pentecost. That's where it came. I got to go, when I went to Israel in 2005, I got to go in one of the upper rooms where they believe Pentecost happened. It's amazing to see that. So what I'm saying is this, is that this was a feast that was happening in the time of Jesus. It was a time when every Jew would travel to Jerusalem. They would come to Jerusalem and give thanks to God for the abundance that was received in the fields. And so everybody came and made this pilgrimage and this act of worship. And it was a time for them to come and give God thanks. As we're coming here this morning, we're giving God thanks. We our beautiful worship this morning. How about our worship team? Beautiful words. But we're singing out to God and giving him praise for all that he's done and all he's doing in our lives. And so, in essence, that's what they're doing here during this time. And so it was a Jewish holiday to remember these Ten Commandments that were given from God, or Yahweh at the time, to Moses. And so they would come to remember that. But it was a Feast of Weeks, it's also called, in these first fruits. But this was the time where the Spirit came upon the church and the disciples at this time. And so what we have here is this, is that this Holy Spirit life, this is what we're going to talk about. You hear that word a lot. It's not just a churchy thing or a cliche, but it's a reality that exists and available to us today. There's a great quote that I love. A.W. Tozer, who is a pastor and author, back in the day, said this, that the Holy Spirit-filled life isn't not just a special deluxe edition of Christianity, but it is part and parcel the total plan of God. It is the total plan of God, and so that's God's intention for it. It isn't some special edition thing that you subscribe to, but that was God's plan for the Holy Spirit to come and be there for us, that he would never leave us or forsake us. I don't know about you, but that excites me. That excites me today. That we get to remember that the church was born and the Holy Spirit came. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to kind of camp out today in Acts chapter 2. It'll be on the screen behind me. And we're gonna take a look at that, Dr. Luke has to say in this particular passage. So starting in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, this is what it says. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And they, meaning Jesus as disciples and his, those who were following. And then suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty wind rushing, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Verse 3, and the divided tongues of fire appeared to them and rested on each of them. And they were filled all with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And so here we have this. This is the verse. This is where, if you drill down on this, this is where the Holy Spirit comes. And the church was born. the church was born. If this was like in your calendar, this was Pentecost Sunday. You could put a little birthday cake next to it. This is the church's birthday today. And so that's what happens. And so the church is born, but it's born in the ministering power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. That's where it comes from. And all the things that they have gone through in the history from the Old Testament and everything that happened in those 400 years of silence through the ministry of Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross, now we have this promising of the Holy Spirit, and we're here now. And so I'm so thankful when I think about my own faith journey. When I was a kid, a freshman in high school, that's when I first met Jesus. I didn't have it all together, but that's when I first met Jesus. It was at that time when Jesus came into my heart, but that's also when the Holy Spirit came into my life and revealed different things about me. And I went from this kind of dumb jock. The only book I read in high school was Bo Knows Bo. It was a biography about Bo Jackson. Now all of a sudden, all I wanted to read was scripture. It just made sense. There was this light switch moment. Has that ever happened to you? And so the Holy Spirit turned me on to this, like, there's a new way to live. There's a new way to think. There's a new way to use my life and live my life. And so that's what happened. And I'm so thankful that I had that experience way back when in the continuance of the Holy Spirit in my life. It's available today for you. So if you're here this morning and you're dealing with things, you're dealing with struggles and fears and anxieties and troubles, that God has promised us his Holy Spirit is a comforter and a corrector and a guide for us, that we are not by ourselves, amen? So I hope that gives you hope this morning. That's where we're going to look at this. And so as I met Jesus, I also discovered this Holy Spirit that came into my life and empowered me to continue to move forward in my life. So back to this passage in Acts chapter 2. They're celebrating this Old Testament Passover this Old Testament remembrance of when God gave Moses the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai. And it says in Exodus 19 that a loud sound in fire happened, and the finger of God began to write his law on those tablets. And so here's an example of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. Isn't that cool? We get to see the Old Testament, that the Holy Spirit is at work already. And so it says this, God wrote his law on the tablets of stone. Then we go forward to the New Testament. The New Testament in Acts chapter 2, which we just read, the Holy Spirit descended with a loud sound and fire. Doesn't that sound familiar, right? So what happened in Deuteronomy also happened in Acts chapter 2. And so God, instead of writing on stone tablets, he began to write on our hearts. He began to write his law on our hearts. And so when we encounter Jesus, that's what happens, is that he writes his law on our hearts. How many of you are with me this morning? And so that's why we do this. That's why we remember Pentecost Sunday, is that God promises his Holy Spirit. This isn't some set of rules or rituals, but it's now this living and active thing that it's written on our hearts. That should excite us, amen? And so God wrote his law on our hearts, and I'm so thankful for that. Acts chapter 2, verse 12 says this, moving forward, and all were amazed and perplexed. Say amazed. They were perplexed to see one another. What does this mean? What does this mean? We all ask that question at some point in our Christian faith. What does this mean? And we look at a passage of scripture. I'm not sure what it means. And so we ask that same question. And so all through Jesus's ministry, Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit in the gospel accounts. But in the gospel of John, he speaks of the Holy Spirit the most. The most of the Holy Spirit is in the Gospel of John. For instance, we see John 13, there's the washing of the feet. He talks about it there. The Lord's Supper, 14, 15, and 16. Lots of red letters there. And then finally, there are five times he says what the Holy Spirit will do. He says to them what the Holy Spirit will do. And then the Holy Spirit is, it's supposed to be for the church to embrace and live out their faith. I love that. And so much of today, I know I've been in ministry for quite some time, and I've heard conversations and talk with people. There's much confusion about the Holy Spirit, right? It's much confusion. One of the craziest things I ever heard about the Holy Spirit is someone thought it was like a ghost, like Ghostbusters. I'm like, no, it's not that. It's not that. But the Holy Spirit is this entity. It's God three in one. It's this, his presence that comes with us and lives with us. And so there's much confusion. So today is the birth of the church. It is the birthday of the church. I didn't know if you knew that, but that is why we're here. The Pentecost Sunday, we're here to remember that there was this promising
of the Holy Spirit and Jesus' church came. So that's an amazing thing for us to think about. Five times Jesus said this within the Gospels. He said this, what the Holy Spirit will do. And I think it's helpful to think about, okay, what does the Holy Spirit do? If it's not like Slimer from Ghostbusters, what is this Holy Spirit? It's an important thing to think about. If you don't get that reference, Google it. It's okay, whatever, I'm moving on. Five times Jesus said, this is what the Holy Spirit will do. The Holy Spirit, he says in John 14:16, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. And so one of the roles of the Holy Spirit, what the Holy Spirit does, is he's the helper. How many of you need help? My wife will tell you I need help a lot. So he's the helper, the comforter, the advocate that comes into our life and helps us along the way. We all need that. And so that's a promise of Scripture. Also in John 14:27, it says this, peace I leave with you, and my peace I give to you. And so he's promising this through the Holy Spirit that there's this peace that will come. Does that mean your life will be perfectly easy? And all? No, that's not what he's saying. But there's this peace, there's this contentment that the Holy Spirit is with you, that you're not by yourself and you're not left on your own. And so he wants to abide with you. That's a biblical word, the word abide. The Holy Spirit's abiding with us. It's living amongst us. So as God and Jesus are in heaven, the Holy Spirit is here with us, written on our hearts, right here, now, today, at the church. That's an amazing thing. Praise God for that. Here's the other thing that the Holy Spirit does, Jesus said. The Holy Spirit teaches us and reminds us. It teaches us and reminds us. In verse 26 of chapter 14, it says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send, will teach you things and bring to remembrance all the things that I have said to you. And so as the Holy Spirit comes, it'll teach you, it'll help you remember things. There have been times when I'll recall Scripture when I'm going through a certain thing in my life, a Scripture verse will pop up. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, it's more than just like a Hobby Lobby thing, right? The Holy Spirit will bring that Scripture to my life and my mind and remind me to trust in Him when things are tough. How many of you need a helper to do that? We all do. And so the Spirit teaches us and reminds us of who he is, what God is like, what Christ has done, and that we're not alone. Amen? And so the Bible is written by men, but inspired by the Holy Spirit. The men held the pen, and the Holy Spirit wrote the word. And so we have that. So that's where we have this Jesus' reminder. The third thing that Jesus says, that the Holy Spirit testifies and speaks out about who Jesus is. In John 15, verse 26, it says this, but when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, and he will bear witness about me. And so this bearing witness is a testify. That's sometimes literally, it's figuratively. And the Holy Spirit's, you know, talking about who Jesus is and pointing people to the truth. And so we have this, that the Spirit is the one who bears witness to the truth. And so the Holy Spirit will use you to bring healing and comfort, will use you to be an encouragement, will use you to serve these wonderful kids that we had, right? He'll use you to use your gifts to be a greater blessing to the church. That's one of the great things that we have. Or go on a mission trip. We got some guys here that went on a mission trip. It's good to have you here this morning. But he wants you and encourages you to be that testimony, that witness for who he is. And so the only way you do that is yield your life to the Holy Spirit. The fourth thing that Jesus said is this. He says that he will convict us of the word. He will convict the world of sin. Now, if we look at our world and we look at all the things that we see on social media and hear in the news, there's sin around it. There's sin all everywhere. We can feel it. We can sense it. But there's sin all over the place. And so Jesus says in John 16:8, and then when he comes, meaning the Spirit, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. And so as Jesus goes away, he promises the Holy Spirit and he convicts the world. And there's times when we see in the world where he doesn't point out and condemn everything, but God convicts for change of grace. He's pointing people to kind of like convict. The word convict is a Christian word too. How many of you ever heard the word convict? Conviction. So when we hear this word conviction, so the Holy Spirit comes. When I was a kid, it was Bugs Bunny. Maybe some of you know that reference. There was a little devil and a little angel. right? And they would battle on the shoulders. And so they're your conscience, in other words, right? The Holy Spirit is convicting us, you and I, of the sin that we did. Maybe you said something and went too far. Have you ever gone too far with your words or your actions? A few of you are raising your hand. I appreciate the honesty. But that's what the Holy Spirit, it convicts the world. It convicts us of the things that we're dealing with and the sin in our lives. When sin becomes comfortable in our lives, there's a problem. When sin is just familiar to us, we need to check our hearts. We need to surrender that to God. And so the Holy Spirit is there not to annoy you. I guess it is, Pastor Gary, right? It's there to annoy us a little bit. The Holy Spirit's there to help us to deal with the things and the problems that we have in our lives, to put that aside, to lay it at the foot of the cross and yield our lives to Him. Jesus says this, that the Holy Spirit is a guide. He guides us and comes to us. In John 16, 13, this is what He says. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. I love that. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will declare to you the things that are to come true. And so He guides us in the things to come. And so the Spirit is at work there. He's a guide on what will come. And so there's decisions where we're not sure what God will do, but He's calling us to walk faithfully and obediently. So that's a practical thing that we can do when it comes to the Holy Spirit, is to lay our lives down. Here's another scripture verse. I'm all over the place with scripture today, so stay with me, okay? Joel 2, 28 through 29 says this, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons, your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions." And so we have this, that there's this Spirit, the Holy Spirit's promised to us to guide us in all truth. And so that's what I love. So here's the tension. The tension for you and I this morning is this, is that we approach the Holy Spirit this way, and I've done this, where it's, I approach my faith that I don't need the Holy Spirit. I don't need the Holy Spirit to correct me or convict me. I'm just fine. Have you ever felt that way? Yes, thank you. Appreciate the honesty. The tension is this. The reality is this, is that we have to wrestle that to the ground and surrender that and move forward. So that's what I love about where we're going today. So the big idea is this. Here's where we're going. The big idea is what we want you to remember. The big idea is this. A Holy Spirit-filled church, where the Holy Spirit is moving amongst the people, will have these four evidences in the people. So are you looking at the church? We're saying, what are the character traits or the evidences amongst the people? They're going to have courage. They're going to have courage, a boldness that comes through faith, that they do things sometimes they don't want to do, and they step out in faith anyway. Number two, there's a conviction. There's a conviction in their hearts and their lives that produces character. They're not just okay with sin and the things that they're dealing with, that makes them feel uncomfortable. That they're going to have character that's going to come a result of that. A Christ-like character, not our own character. There's going to be conversions. There's going to be conversions that happen. When the Holy Spirit is moving amongst its people, there's going to be conversions. There's going to be recommitments. There's going to be people crossing the bridge or accepting Jesus into their lives. That's what's going to happen. And then here's the other thing, and I love this about Ridge City Church, is that when the Holy Spirit is there, there is community. Say community. Community is vital. Community is important. What have we learned since COVID? More and more people are returning back to the church. Isolation breeds destruction. So we need one another. And the Holy Spirit brings us together, that there's an energy in the room. There's a spirit that's moving when we're all together. That we're not the same when you're not here. So keep meeting together. Amen. That's what we're called to do. So here's what we're going to look at. Number one is this. When the Holy Spirit is in the church and amongst its people, they're going to have courage and boldness. They're going to have courage and boldness. That courage and boldness comes through the Greek word when we talk about this dunamis power that describes what the Holy Spirit likes. Dunamis is where we get the word dynamite, and it talks about this explosive power that you'll see. And so within the Christian, their character's supposed to change and become this explosive, powerful thing. Now, I'm not asking you to like just put on a goofy smile and run around, but you should be different because you know Jesus, and you should have this Holy Spirit in you that's going to change you and give you a different perspective on your life. And so I love that this courage comes as a result of the Holy Spirit that was promised to us. In Acts 1, verse 8, it says this, "But you will receive the power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And He will be my witnesses," listen to this, in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And so as the Holy Spirit comes, there's this courage and boldness. An example of that is when we go on mission trips. We don't just stay in the north side of Pittsburgh or the east side of Pittsburgh, right? We go out and proclaim the gospel, and we're witnesses for him, whether it's Buffalo or Liberia or Honduras or whatever it is. We're going out and being bold and courageous, because it does take that sometimes. And so when you have the Holy Spirit in you, you're okay to step out and do things that make you feel uncomfortable. Church, let's get uncomfortable together. Let's do something. Sign up for the Pitt mission trip. Let's do some things together. It's going to be fun. It's going to be great. I just encourage you to do that. But there's a boldness and courage that is a mark and an evidence when the Holy Spirit is around. Look at Acts 2:14. It says this: "Then Peter stepped forward with the 11 other apostles and shouted to the crowd, 'Listen carefully, all of you, fellow Jews and residents of Jerusalem. Make no mistake about this.'" And so there's this boldness that came over the disciples. Right, each of them have their own quirks and habits and hang-ups and all these different things. But because of the Holy Spirit coming, they were able to do things that, say, this normal fisherman or this normal construction worker, whatever it is, he was able to step out in boldness and proclaim the word of God. And so that's my hope and prayer for you, is that as you think about what the Holy Spirit looks like, that you would pray for boldness and courage to face the things you're facing. How many of you need boldness and courage this morning? There's some people raising their hand. Amen. So that's what the Holy Spirit does. It helps us to have that boldness and courage to take that step of faith when things don't make sense. Number two is this: conviction produces character. Conviction will produce character. So when the Holy Spirit comes and there's evidence of the Holy Spirit amongst its people, right, they're going to get together and they're going to have their hearts moved. Have you ever been moved by God's word? Have you ever been moved by a song that we sing and you just feel the Holy Spirit here, that you could cut it with a knife? Have you ever been on a mission trip where you're just blessed? You're like, God, how is your hand on my life? Right? So our hearts need to be pierced and moved and convicted to the point where our character is developing. Our character is building. That we're dying to self, we're becoming more like Jesus. That's what character looks like. And I'm not saying like just produce, like I'm not talking leadership. I'm talking, this is Christ stuff. This is Holy Spirit stuff. This is Spirit-filled evidences that we're looking for. You think of the Apostle Peter, right? He had this anger problem. He was outspoken. He kind of put his foot in his mouth. He was probably a typical man, right? But over time, the Holy Spirit changed him. He was convicted of denying Jesus. Remember that? And then his character began, and he said Jesus used him to build the church to move forward. And so there was that demonstration of power. Acts 2:37 through 38 says this: "Peter's words pierced their hearts, and they said to him and to the other the apostles, 'Brothers, what should we do?'" This is evidence that the Holy Spirit is in work. If you're not asking questions and saying, "How can I get better? How can I look more like Jesus?" The Holy Spirit's there. Maybe there's something in our life that is quenching the Spirit. And God's saying, "I want you to surrender that and repent that in order to move forward." And so that's how character happens, that the Holy Spirit will convict you of that, whatever that sin is or that struggle. And he says, "You need to give that to me." And then your character will be strengthened because of what the Holy Spirit did. And so when you're asking those questions like Peter did to these folks in this passage, their character was moving forward, taking steps of maturity and taking steps of growth because of this character that was happening, because the evidence of the Holy Spirit was in their lives. Don't you want that this morning? Don't you want that? And so, I love this. Before Pentecost, you can see that. When you read the scriptures, you read the gospels, Jesus would constantly have to over-explain to the disciples, "What do you mean by that, Master? What do you mean by that, Rabbi?" And he constantly have to explain. Once the Holy Spirit comes, there's this revelation in their minds and their hearts that happens, right? They struggled with understanding Scripture, but afterward, everything started to make sense. Everything started to make sense. I can be a witness to that in my own life. Before Jesus, I went to church. My mom would drag me to church. Like I said, I only went to church because my wife at the time was there, and I just wanted to see her. I could care less about God. But once I became a Christian, everything started to make sense, and the Holy Spirit illuminated my mind, and there was revelation that happened and habits that I needed to let go of. And so there was this character forming thing that happened. And so that's the evidence that, we should, when we're over the line or we feel like we've said something, we should be moved to move closer to Jesus and surrender that. There should be a character that's produced because of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Number three is this, conversions. Conversions. I'm not talking about math stuff. Some of you are sweating about that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about conversions of the old self to the new self in a relationship with Jesus. Acts chapter 2, verse 41 says this, those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day. And about 3,000 to all. We would have a problem here. We'd have to go to a couple services here at Brighton Heights. But here's what happens, is that when you hear the word of God, character is being shaped, the Spirit is on the move, people are going to make decisions. They're going to be pierced to the heart because they're going to want to say, I don't want to live like this anymore. I want to live like Jesus. I want to live because of what the Holy Spirit is doing in my life. And so conversions will begin to happen. Can you remember your first conversion? How the Holy Spirit moved on your life and brought you from this place to here. And he's continued to work on you in this sanctification process. Acts chapter 9:31, as we keep going on here, it says this, that the church had peace throughout Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and it became stronger as believers feared the Lord. And so as believers gathered together, the church grew stronger. They were in community because they feared the Lord. I'm not saying cower, like this is a respectful fear. This is an awe of who God is. And so that's what we have here in this passage, that this fear of the Lord was at the core of their culture. It was at who they were. And when you entered the room, you could feel it. This church feels the Lord. There's something different about these people. The Holy Spirit is here. And so they had that. That was part of their culture. And so as they did that, people's lives are impacted. They were changed. Peter, conversions happened. They left their old ways and embraced this new way of the cross because of the Holy Spirit. The goal of the Holy Spirit is this. It's not for the church to have church services, but for souls and harvest, for people to come into a relationship with Jesus. That's the goal. That's the goal. That's why the harvest is out there. That's why the Holy Spirit is promised. As the law is written in our hearts, these conversions will happen more and more. God wants you to use your testimony. God wants you to use your gifts and abilities to influence and impact others. And for you to just sit on that is a shame. He wants you to step out in faith and have boldness and courage to lean into the Holy Spirit and let him guide you to make a dent where you're sent. So the law was written on their hearts. Here's the fourth one. The fourth one was this. That this is what the Holy Spirit-filled church looked like, and this was amongst the people at the time, is that they were a people of community. I'm going to challenge you. I'm going to just put a spotlight on it. After this worship experience or worship service is over, watch how many people stick around. Watch how many little kids are binging around the walls and running up the aisles. Listen to the sound. That's community. That's community. That's what true community, koinonia, looks like. That's a beautiful thing. That's an evidence of the Spirit. But we invite you to be part of that. We invite you to be part of that. Look what community, they went from divided. There was some division amongst the early disciples. Some thought that they were abandoned. Some, like Thomas, they had doubts, like many of us. But once the Holy Spirit came, they were no longer divided, but they were united. That's a good sign of the Holy Spirit, amen? He wants that not only for our church, but he also wants that for our hearts and our minds. That we're not we're united, not divided. So Acts 2:42, all believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the sharing of meals, including the Lord's Supper or communion, and to prayer. And a deep sense of awe or the fear of the Lord came over them. And the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And so as they knew Jesus, they were followers of Jesus, or the way they called it, and the Holy Spirit is evident in their lives. They didn't sit back or be consumers. They went out and did the stuff that Jesus did. Don't you want to do the stuff that Jesus did? And so the Holy Spirit has promised to us we can do that. We can participate fully into what the church is called to be. We can be a strong community of believers. May we never lose our awe. May we never lose our awe of who God is and the Holy Spirit is in our lives. May we never get, like, maybe not just become so familiar, just like, whatever. But, like, may we just always be inspired by that. I hope that's my prayer for you this morning, is that it never gets old for you, that you're constantly moved, and it just brings you to awe and it makes you want to put up your hands or close your eyes or go down to the children's ministry and serve there. Nice, thank you. The power of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost resulted in people doing this. So the Holy Spirit's moving, and the power was moving amongst the people, and this was what they devoted themselves to. It didn't say fishing and making, you know, clothes or anything. This is what it said. They devoted themselves to these things. What are you devoted to this morning? What is your focus in on your own faith? What are you devoted to? This isn't a guilt trip, it's a challenge. This is what they were devoted to. They were devoted to the teaching of Christ and the apostles. They were devoted to fellowship with one another. They were devoted to prayer. They were devoted to praying for one another and praying for God's Spirit to move in worship and adoration of who He was and is. They devoted themselves to communion, to not only the Lord's Supper, they took that in remembrance of what Jesus did, but they also broke bread outside of wherever they were. They went to restaurants or have coffee with one another. I don't know if they had coffee back then. I don't know. I don't think. Generosity was part of their culture and who they were. Because of the Holy Spirit, they were generous in what they gave. They sold their stuff if they needed to. They gave money to what they needed to. And so they took care of one another. That's an evidence of the Holy Spirit. As we have this Kingdom Builders Initiative, you guys have been amazing, giving, generous to all of these mission efforts that we're going to. But that's part of the Holy Spirit that's moving amongst its people. That you're generous. You see it. It's bigger than yourselves. You have the zoomed out picture of what the church could and should be. And that's a generous culture. That's part of who they were. And that's the prayer. How about this? Acts 2, 44 through 47 says this. And the believers met together in one place, and they shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions. They shared their money with those in need. They worshiped together in the temple at each day. They met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and they shared in meals with great joy and generosity. And all the while, praising God, enjoying the goodwill of all the people. Enjoying the goodwill of all the people. I love that picture. And each day, the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Because of the Holy Spirit coming, because of the evidence of the Holy Spirit infilling His people, this is how the church grew. Because of this event that happened in Acts chapter 2 and so on, we're here today because of them. We're here today because of Jesus' promise. We're here today because of God's word and the faithfulness of other believers over time. It's our part, it's our time to step up and be the church and be faithful, amen? We need each other. We need the Holy Spirit to do it. We can do nothing without the Holy Spirit. I hope you hear that. Like, we are Pittsburghers, we have work ethic. I get that, that only takes us so far. It's the power of the Holy Spirit makes it available to do the things of ministry and life, and do all those things we're called to do. I love that image of what the church looked like. Here's my conclusion as we kind of wrap up here, is that in Acts 2:38, this is kind of one of the thoughts behind the heart of what Luke was trying to portray, what the church looked like, and how Peter was talking to the crowd and to the people that day. It said, Peter said to them, listen to these words, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, from the promise for you and your children and from all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to Himself. And so it begins with this repentant heart. It begins with an attitude change, a perspective shift, to seeing that the Holy Spirit is made available to us. That if you're going through some struggles and strongholds and habits or hang-ups, that you don't have to be shackled to those. You can be set free from that today. A lot can happen in 50 days. A lot can happen. If you haven't made a public declaration of your faith, you've not been baptized, I want to invite you at the end of this month, on June 29th, then we're going to have another opportunity for you to publicly declare your inward faith in the baptism tank right over here. You can sign up back at the connection point. But this is an evidence of the Holy Spirit in your life. It's just a way for you to say, Jesus is the Lord of my life, that the Holy Spirit is in my heart. and he's with me. This is a way for you to take a step of faith and boldly proclaim and courage. And so after Pentecost, in the book of Acts, we see transformation happen. My heart and my prayer for Bridge City Church and Brighton Heights is that there'll be more and more transformation, that shackles will be thrown off, and then there'll be transformation of hearts and minds. That we see in this early church that the fearful became bold. The competitors with one another became collaborators in life together. Those that were divided became united, and those that were individualists and held to their own stuff became a team. That's what they were about. Those who were coward and worried about what was going to happen with Rome persecution, they turned into world changers. They turned into world changers. God wants to use you this morning. God wants to set you free from whatever you're dealing with in your life. I'm going to give you that opportunity here in a minute. But maybe today, God wants you to allow the Holy Spirit to empower you in faith. Just take that step of boldness and courage. Maybe today, God wants you to be transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. Your mind, your heart, the way you live your lives. Maybe today, you can receive a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit because it's available. So I'm going to invite you to stand. I'm going to invite you to stand right now, right where you are. This is a beautiful picture of what the church was and is and what it could be moving forward. And so I want to encourage you today. I hope this was a reminder of what Pentecost is. I hope it was a challenge for us to kind of check some thoughts and attitudes, because God wants all of us. He wants us to surrender our lives to Him. So I want to pray for us right now. Heavenly Father, I just pray for everyone here this morning, visitors and those who come all the time and those occasionally. Lord, each one of us deals with life, and life is hard. But we know through your word that because life is hard, we can have faith that you have overcome the world. And Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit. And I pray for the Holy Spirit to fall fresh upon us this morning. I pray for a fresh infilling of your Holy Spirit upon each and every person here. I pray that they would receive that they would not hold back. There would be no trepidation, but Lord, there'd be a bold proclamation of courage and boldness. Faith. So, Father, fall fresh upon us. Send your Holy Spirit upon us right now. Receive that. Heavenly Father, I pray for your Holy Spirit to encourage us to not hold back. To when we hear that conviction, that tug at our heart when we've been out of line, Lord, that we would repent and turn from that and embrace you. Father, I pray for your Holy Spirit to fall fresh upon us in new ways. That you'd be the priority of our lives. You'd be the central focus of all that we do. I pray for this campus specifically, Lord, that we would be strengthened in community and fellowship, that we would use our gifts and abilities for you. I pray for Bridge City as a whole, a one church in four locations, God, for your Holy Spirit to fall fresh upon us this morning. And so, Father, I just give you praise in this place, and all of God's people said, amen. You may be seated.